Good morning.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, hoes. So, you know, I got to tell you this. This has nothing to do with anything. It's just I don't know where to put it, and I don't want to save it because I may forget it. But the highlight of 2013 for me is when we went over to the veterans' place and all the guys were hitting on Dorothy. That was awesome. Dorothy, like 10 veterans were hitting on you. That is so impressive. You are the bomb. Dorothy still got it. All right, so that, as I said, that did not fit any in any particular place, but I just had to say that because I was thinking about it this morning, and I thought that is so cool. That was the greatest. So let's begin our Christmas celebration with a song. And you can feel free to stand. You can feel free to sing along. The song is Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ.
While field and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. And wonders at wonders of His love.
God's love is a wonder to us, His unconditional love for us. And right now, it has to provide you with a tremendous amount of comfort that God loves you unconditionally. There is nothing that you can do to make him love you more. There's no sin you can commit that would make him love you less. He has always loved you from the beginning. He has always had your name personally in mind, and there never will be a time when he doesn't have your name personally in his mind. There will never be a time when he is not absolutely 100% concerned for you. So wherever you are in this glorious world in which we live, whether here in the resident congregation or in the soon-to-be resident congregation or in the far reaches all over the world of people who tune into Barah Ministries on the internet, I hope you enjoy this celebration of the birth of the unique person of the universe, the one who is called by many titles, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Alpha and the Omega, which means the beginning and the ending. The great I am, the Savior of the world. He is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says this, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says this, "Therefore the Lord, Adonai," this is the Old Testament, "the God of heaven himself, will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child, and she will bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." Here's a song, O come, Emmanuel.
O come,
In that song, the Jews are in captivity. Israel is occupied. And that song commemorates that occupation. And it is a fervent cry from slaves. Oh, come, Emmanuel. And the Jews at that time expected that God would be with us. And they were looking for him. And they were being taught by rituals about what they would see when he came. You know, it's impossible at this time of the year to contain the joy we believers in Christ feel in our hearts when we stop to think deeply about what God the Father did for us by sending his Son. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. In this lesson, we're going to see every passage that has anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ's birth in the Bible. You know, typically over the Christmas time, we pick our favorite, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. We pick our favorite, and the favorite would have to take you to Luke. But there are some things in the Old Testament that we need to see about our Savior. And there's some things all over the New Testament about our Savior. And so we're going to see all of those things today. We're going to start our look at the New Testament at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. You see, God doesn't just tell us that he loves us unconditionally. He shows us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you, that's a reference to all mankind at physical birth, were spiritually dead in the sphere of spiritual death because of your trespasses and sins. Trespasses and sins are deliberate acts of unrighteousness, things that we do that are outside of the plan of God. And that's exactly what the angelic creatures did. They were in perfect condition, and they were perfect, in relationship with a perfect God, and they decided that there had to be something more, and they sinned. And for the condition of every human being, when we come to the earth, is that we have a sin nature, and in a period of time, a relatively short period of time, we will do the exact same thing. We will do something that is defiant of God, and it's called trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:2, in which you formerly walked, and that's a reference to a lifestyle like all unbelievers, according to the organized curriculum of the world, Satan's system of thought. That's what you are exposed to every day. You're exposed to an organized curriculum of thought, and you are a purchaser of it. And every day, you purchase something from it and hold on tightly to it. And so when you come here, what I'm really doing as a pastor is trying to chip away at those things which you have purchased. And what I'm trying to do with you is to get you to open up your souls to learning and to abandon some of those lies that you've heard in the curriculum of Satan's thought during the week. So in which you formerly walked as a lifestyle like all unbelievers, according to the organized curriculum of the world, Satan's system of thought, according to the guidance of the prince of the power of the air, Satan, guidance that he gives us every day that is completely opposed to all things that relate to God, according to the guidance of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. What is the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience? Rejection, rebellion of all things that are God, of God himself, and of God's salvation offer. So listen to that. You, all mankind at physical birth, were spiritually dead in the sphere of spiritual death because of your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked as a lifestyle. According to the organized curriculum of Satan's system of thought, according to the guidance of the prince of the power of the air, according to the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. What is that saying? That we've all come from this spirit of rejection of our God. Ephesians 2:3. Among them, we too, all, me, Paul, and all believing Jews, formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, in the flesh. In the flesh, the state of unbelievers, indulging in the desires of the flesh, the state of all unbelievers, and something that Christians can duplicate. Although we are not in the flesh, we can do the desires of the flesh. So among them, we too all, me, Paul, and all the believing Jews, formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and in the desires of the mind, and were, by the influence of the sovereign sin nature, described as children of wrath, children destined for the lake of fire, even as the rest, the Gentiles, not just the believing Jews, but the Gentiles, who are also destined for the lake of fire. The believing Jews were not, the unbelieving Jews were destined, but also the Gentiles destined for the lake of fire. The first three verses of Ephesians chapter 2 don't paint a great picture of the human condition at physical birth, do they? It's not your fault, but it is your circumstance. And when we were spiritually dead, we had no relationship with God, and there was nothing we could do about it in our own human power. In the flesh, as unbelievers, we were on the wrong side of a barrier without a relationship with God, and we were helpless and hopeless to do anything about it. What a great setup for why we celebrate this Christmas season. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, makes the switch. After setting you up and telling you what your condition was, here it is, and you'd be toast. But, there's that word, if you look in your Ephesians chapter 4, that's the word that starts it. But, and but is a huge transition. But, God the Father, being rich in mercy because of his great, and great means seeking the highest and best for you, the source, the recipients of his gifts. But God the Father, being rich in mercy because of his great and unconditional love with which he loved us, all creatures, even and especially when we were spiritually dead in our transgressions and sins, made us believers in Christ, spiritually alive together and in union with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Ephesians 2:6. And God the Father raised us up in resurrection with the Lord Jesus Christ. And God the Father seated us with the Lord Jesus Christ in session in the heavenly places in union with Christ Jesus. See, we have a living God who makes us spiritually alive when we request spiritual life. At that moment, when we realize that we are spiritually dead and helpless and hopeless to get ourselves out of the prison of spiritual death, God the Father raised us up in resurrection with the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Father seated us with him in session in the heavenly places in union with Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, God the Father might show with this evidence the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us who are in union with Christ Jesus. That's why Jesus came. That's why God the Father gave his Son for you, so that he could show you through evidence at a later time the graciousness, the kindness that he feels towards you. For by grace you have been saved through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And that grace, that faith, that salvation are all not from the source of yourselves. They are gifts to you from God. They are not a result of your works, so that no one may be in a position to boast. There are so many verses that point that part out. No one is in a position to boast. Why? Because it's God who did everything for you. And one of those great things he did for you was to send his Son so that you could have the opportunity of salvation if you wanted it. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in union with Christ Jesus for good works, which good works God the Father prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Not only does he consider you to be his workmanship, but he has also laid out a series of works for you to do, and he laid those aside before the foundation of the world. And I wonder if you know what they are. And I wonder if you're doing them. I wonder. And I wonder if that question raises a question in your soul. The answer is no, you're not. You don't know what they are, and you aren't doing them. And isn't it about time that that is not a description of you? Isn't the new year a perfect time for us to say, that's never going to be a description of me again? It has to be, because as a Christian, if you aren't active in your Christianity, you are dead in your Christianity. Because Christianity and faith were not designed to sit on their hands. They were designed to get out in front of people. They were designed for you to tell it to other people. And what happens? You know, a relative of yours perhaps teases you about being involved in this ministry. And then what happens to you? Right? Now, they aren't part of any ministry. Right? They don't have a shred of evidence that God is a part of their lives. Yet they have all these blessings that God is pouring onto them, but they don't have a shred of gratitude anywhere evident in their lives that they know where those blessings come from. And you do, and then you're the person who should feel bad? I don't think so. I think you need to open your mouth and tell that person, whoever it is, to shut up, because you know from sitting here who the Son of God is and what this fantastic thing is that the Son of God is doing for you. See, I think we have to start showing up here differently than we show up here. You know, we show up here just like we show up everywhere. Bored, sitting there, you know. You know, you got to have a pen in your hand, and you got to be writing, and you got to have your problems sitting right in front of you. And as you're hearing these things, you ought to be writing out your problems and wondering, how does this apply to my problems? And then when you leave here, something different's going to exist. Because this thing I'm telling you about God the Son, about God the Father, thinking so much of you that he sent his son to death for you, and that this was the beginning of it, that's got to be overwhelming to you in your soul. And if you're participating in your Christianity, it is. I can barely talk to you this morning without crying. After spending days and days assembling this and looking at this God who is so magnificent to me. I was thinking yesterday, you know, I was a ghetto boy. I was nobody. And people told me that I had a 1% chance of ever getting out of that situation. I'm not in it. I was poor, and now I'm not. And the chances of that happening were non-existent. I didn't have any money to go to college. I didn't have any money to pay for high school. But my high school was paid, and my college, all but 3,000 of it was paid. And my graduate school was all paid. How did that happen? Oh, it was me. I'm so industrious, and I really know how to make money, and I'm so smart. I was delivered by this baby that was born on this day. I was delivered consistently by the one who we're celebrating today. I was a nobody. And now some of the smartest people in the world sit and can't wait to hear the next thing that's going to come out of my mouth about how they need to sell differently. Hundreds of them all over the world, if you mentioned my name to them, will say, that guy changed my life. But I was nobody. And who made me somebody? Who turned this nothing into something? Who barraged me is this baby that we're talking about today. I am his workmanship. I am in union with him. And he has prepared good works for me, and I'm doing one of those good works right this minute that he prepared for me a billion years ago. How about you? Because the same thing is true for you. That's who we celebrate today, this magnificent baby. God the Father made us believers in Christ spiritually alive. He placed us into union with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us the Zoe life, the resurrection life, the eternal life. Right now, and by position, right now, we are set apart to be resurrected from the dead. And the actual resurrection will happen at a future time. And God the Father will resurrect us from the dead. And God the Father has seated us at the right hand of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, all those deliverances I talked to you about just now, all of which you have had as well, whether you acknowledge it or not, all of those happened to fulfill the promise that he made to us in Psalm 23. What did he say? He said, I will make a table for you right in front of your enemies. How many times have people told you you could never do it? Because people have been telling me my whole life I can't do it, and they keep telling me. I have a relationship now after having 3 decades of lousy relationships. I have a great woman and a great relationship in my life, and I know why it is. I was delivered again. 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 And again and again and again. Because that's the baby. Because that baby that we're celebrating today has had an impact on my life. And he impacts my life every moment. That's who we're here to celebrate today. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. I never get tired of talking about that baby. John chapter 3, verse 16. Christmas, from God's point of view, is not a time to give. Christmas, from God's point of view, is not a time to give. It's a time to receive. So as the source of all blessing, God gave to you his intended recipients, the greatest gift of all. John chapter 3, verse 16. God the Father so unconditionally loved all mankind so much. So. He super loved all mankind. He loved all mankind so much unconditionally that he gave the uniquely born Son, the monogenes, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but instead shall have the Zoe life, the eternal life, the resurrection life. John 3:17. For God the Father did not send the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to judge the world. How many times have you been told? How many times have you thought, and you probably still do, that God is judging you, that he's standing over you with his foot above your head, waiting for you to make a mistake so he can come down on you, so he can discipline you? That's not what discipline is. Discipline is training in a character pattern. How is it that you don't get that? How is it that you don't get that God is not all about disciplining you? How is it you don't get that? Especially if you have kids. Is that the way you look at your kids? Do you look at your kids and you say, I can't wait to punish you? If you do anything wrong, I can't wait to come down on you. Is that the way you look at your kids? And if you, being evil, don't look at your kids that way, how is it that our perfect God would look at us that way? He's not looking at us that way. Here it is. God the Father did not send the Lord Jesus Christ into this world to evaluate us, but that the world might be saved, delivered through him. That's why he came here. That's why we celebrate the baby. He came here to deliver you. He's going to deliver an engineer. Andre, welcome. Haven't seen you in a long time. You get all A's? You're dragging down the GPA, dog. Yeah, speak to me afterward. Bringing B's up in here. God the Father did not send the Son to judge us. He sent the Son to save us. John 3:18, he who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is not evaluated. Raise your hand if you're a believer in Christ. You're not evaluated. You're not condemned. Isn't that awesome? It's pass, fail, you passed. Amen? You passed. He does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the person of the uniquely born Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ does not delight in the choice of unbelievers to have nothing to do with him. The Lord Jesus Christ does not delight in the choice of unbelievers to have nothing to do with him. It is God's will that everyone be saved, and that everyone live in heaven with him forever and ever. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow about his promise of deliverance to salvation, as some accuse him of, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance, a change of mind about Christ. This is the baby that we celebrate today, the baby that was born of a virgin, whose name was Mary. Here's June to sing, Mary, Did You Know?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby would give sight to a blind man? Mary, calm a storm with his hand. Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels try? And when you kiss your little baby, you have kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary,
if Mary was here, she'd answer the question that we asked, no. Mary didn't know. She didn't know. Mary was just like you and me. She was a mom, parent. She didn't know. Mary's baby boy provided a so great salvation, a deliverance for all creatures. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, God the Father demonstrates, shows his own unconditional love toward all mankind, and that while we were sinners, even in our condition of spiritual death, while we were sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ died as a substitute for us. That's how much he thought of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 says, when we're at physical birth, in union with Adam, and all of us are, all of us die spiritually. At physical birth, we're all dead spiritually. But in union with Christ, after we make that request, after we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're all made spiritually alive by being given the resurrection life, the Zoe life. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 say this, but when the fullness of time came, what is the fullness of time? After the Mosaic law made it absolutely clear to all of us that we did not have a righteousness of our own, God the Father sent forth his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, born of a woman, a virgin, born under the Mosaic law, so that he might redeem, that is, purchase from slavery and release from prison, those who were under the tyranny of the Mosaic law, that we might, as a result of this freeing experience, receive the adoption as adult sons. That's why I'm asking you these questions. That's why I'm asking you to question what you have floating in your cabeza. Because a lot of us are still under the Mosaic law. And how does it manifest itself? It manifests itself with us thinking in limited ways, thinking with the ways of the world, thinking with statistics. Oh, well, I'm in my 60s, so that means I only have 10 years left because the average man lives to be 72 and the average woman lives to be 77. God supersedes statistics. If you want to be depressed, think about the statistics. Oh, well, 6 in 10 first marriages fail. 7 in 10 second marriages fail. 8 in 10 third marriages fail. 9 in 10 fourth marriages fail. Except with Christ, the baby boy. Marriages that are built on the foundation of the baby boy and then have the next layer of trust, those marriages thrive. We don't hear those statistics, do we? No, we don't. And so what we're doing here is really important, right? How about your relationship? What do you do when your relationship is dead? And you think it is. What do you do? I'll tell you what you do. You go looking for the answers to that in the world. Not to Christ. The first place we investigate when the relationship stinks isn't trust. Because you know what? If trust doesn't exist, where is there to go from there? If Christ isn't at the base of the relationship, where exactly is there to go from there? To a counselor? Who's going to tell you what? To tell you to do what technique to repair those two things? Because if you don't have those two things right, there's nothing you can do. And yes, in our relationships, over the course of time, we do things that erode the trust away. And then when we see, one day we wake up and we see that the trust has been eroded away, do we go to fix that? No. No, we're going to throw a panacea at it. There aren't any. There's only one panacea, the baby boy. And what's the thing that the baby boy wants from us? Faith. What is that? Trust. Belief. Isn't that funny? That's what we come here to hear. This is our sanctuary. This is the place that makes a difference to us. But does it make a difference to you? Does it get into you? Does it get into you and clear out all that stuff that you've been victimized by this week? And for the last 52 weeks, and for the last 52 weeks times, however many years you've been on the earth, is this good enough to clean it all out? And to get you to look at this a little different way? Is this so exciting to you? Is this baby boy so exciting to you that you just can't wait to tell a friend and drag them here with you so they can hear about the baby boy? I love this baby boy. This baby boy is my boy. He's my main man. I'm at the point in my life where I can't mention his name without getting emotional about it. Christ. Give us one word that describes your life. Christ. Nothing else describes my life but Christ. I am his adult son, as are you. As believers in Christ, we are adult sons of the living God. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 says this, we do see him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was made for a little while lower than the angels. For a little while, he completely humiliated himself by taking on the form of true humanity. Namely, Jesus, because of the suffering of death, the death on a cross, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace gift of God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ might taste death for everyone. That's what the baby boy did. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1, verse 9. John chapter 1, verse 9. Can you go describe this to somebody today? After you get out of here, can you go to the people you care about and say, hey, hard-headed. Hey, you don't have time for God. Hey, sleep in. Hey, Cinnabon, Kenny Rankin, Arizona Republic, waiting for football person. Let me tell you about the great I am. Let me tell you about the baby boy that I heard about today. John chapter 1, verse 9 says this, there was the true light, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in him there is no darkness at all, which by coming into the world at the first advent, and that's what Christmas is. Christmas is the first advent. Advent is a word from the Latin, adventus. It means coming. So we're celebrating the first advent, which is also known as the incarnation. The Lord Jesus Christ, period on earth, is called the incarnation. there was the true light, the Lord Jesus Christ, which by coming into the world at the first advent, also known as the incarnation, enlightens every man concerning the requirements for salvation. Enlightens every man, gets into every man. That's what we come here for, to be enlightened. For things as silly as when we get on the basketball court, if we're a basketball player, and we get the ball, and there's a chance, and we see a little opening to drive to the basket, we drive to the basket. We don't sit there scared. When we see a chance to invest with our money and to get a return on investment, and we know there's a risk, we make the risk. We don't get scared. We educate ourselves about the risk, and then we take the risk. Why? Because the Lord is the one who holds our hand. And I can't tell you how many financial mistakes that I've made in the course of my lifetime that he fixed. My stupidity, he fixed it. And so we don't sit there and say, oh, well, I'm going to be secure if I hold on to this. No, you're not. No, you're not. All because of the baby boy. When this baby boy is part of your life, you think differently. And all God asks of us is, I believe, have confidence in my person, believe, do everything I say, believe. That's all he asks of us. John chapter 1, verse 10, the Lord Jesus Christ was in the world. The world was made through him. He created the world and all the people in it. And the world, Satan's minions, did not know him. Why? They rejected him even though they knew him. Because he's clearly seen and they rejected him. How about the people in your family who reject him? Do you stand up to them or do you cower down to those minions? John chapter 1 verse 11. He came to his own, the Jews, and those who were his own did not receive him. The literal of the Greek says, they gave him no welcome. They didn't receive him. They gave him no welcome. They rejected him as Messiah, in spite of seeing every evidence pointing to his Messiahship. Where were you born, Jesus? In Bethlehem. Huh, isn't that funny? This is the Messiah's supposed to be born there. Isn't that funny? Where did you live? Nazareth. Isn't that funny? The Messiah's supposed to come to Nazareth. Yeah, duh. It's heartbreaking that to come to your own with that love, unconditional, and to have them reject. John 1:12. But, there it is again. Yeah, that happened. But, as many as received him, whosoever, to them, the Lord Jesus Christ gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his person. John 1:13, who were born not of blood, not of human lineage, nor were they born simply of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. See, your volition. Your volition. It's real important, right? Yeah, it's got some importance, but what does this say? You didn't get saved just because of your will. Your will was not good enough to save you. Well, how'd you get saved? They were born again because of the will of God. Yes, express your will and watch God work. I don't know about you, but that makes me want to jump up and down like a Pentecostal. June, give us a demonstration.
I will the next time I'm up there.
All right, great. That's one of the reasons why we got to get a band, because her dancing is just a painful thing to watch. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. It is a trustworthy, shut up. I'll bag on anybody I want. Never mess with the guy with the microphone. That's the rule. It is a trustworthy statement. Yeah, okay. Yeah, if you guys had a little coup, it'd be the first time you got off your butt in a really long time. I'd actually be interested in seeing that. Yeah. Yeah. Barry, did you know that your baby boy? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Merry Christmas. I'd be impressed. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving of full acceptance, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, among whom I, Paul, am foremost of all. Yet for this reason, that I am foremost of all sinners, I found mercy from God, so that in me, as the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ might demonstrate, show me. They're from Missouri. God is from Missouri, the show me state, show me. That he might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Demonstrate. Christianity is demonstrated. It's not talked about. So today, we celebrate the birth of the God-man. We celebrate our rebirth from the tyranny and we celebrate our freedom from the slavery of spiritual death and religion and legalism. We celebrate the birth of a person of impact at Christmas, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is turning us into people of impact. Let us pray. To the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the eternal, immortal, invisible, one and only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for sending your Son to be the Savior of all mankind. Thank you for the fact that you gave up your Son on our behalf. Thank you for the rich set of blessings you have given us from your glorious stash of riches. Thank you for placing us all in the sphere of your grace. Help us to celebrate the God-man, the person of impact on his birthday. Summon the attention of the whole world to your Son at this amazing time of year. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Take a 10-minute break.